Audacity. Who gave you attitude? Angry parents in Antigua marched to have their unvaccinated children be allowed to attend school. And more coming right up. In Antigua, parents hopes that their unvaccinated children would be able to attend school remotely have been dashed. The government says the plan is not feasible. Scores of parents on Tuesday took protest action to underscore their anger with the situation. This report is by Observer Radio.
The police, the instructions from the police now. Everybody will pay the compound, the entire compound, and we transverse over to Queen Elizabeth Highway, please.
The police had to instruct picketers to move away from the Ministry of Education building, which they described as being a scheduled area. Residents had gathered there since 7:30 Tuesday morning to stand against the mandatory vaccination of students. The government has made it unlawful for an unvaccinated child without medical exemption to attend face-to-face classes. Instead, they proposed online learning via Google Classroom for these students, but parents who participated in the picket say that way of learning is not effective. Franz De Freitas, the United Progressive Party candidate for City South, organized the picket that saw about 200 people participate.
Today we are demonstrating our civic and citizenship rights. We are picketing the Ministry of Education for the terrible lack of policy as it relates to the children of Antigua and Barbuda. We have decided that we have had too much oppression, too much discrimination, too much of no action by the Ministry of Education to educate our children in Antigua and Barbuda. We are tired of it. And we have decided to stand up.
This have to stop.
So we will march, we will march, we will march to make sure that our children are looked after. Education is the only thing that should be mandatory.
An injunction has been filed against Prime Minister Keith Mitchell and Health Minister Nicholas Steele by the leader of the Grenada Renaissance Party, Martin Washington Edwards. The injunction seeks to halt the current vaccination campaign while challenging the named government ministers for infringing on the rights of Grenadians. GBN News has this report.
The injunction was filed on October 22nd against government's COVID-19 vaccination campaign.
But what now we demand is that they should cease giving a vaccine and that the pushing of the vaccination by the ministers and this government should stop.
Martin Washington Edwards, leader of the Green Renaissance Party, says he is concerned with the lack of information being given to the people on the vaccines and what it consists of. Noting that Grenada's first 153 confirmed cases were cured without the vaccine, Mr. Edwards has questions that he said require answers.
So my question is, what is the purpose of the vaccine? If the vaccine, like other vaccine, then I can see. And now you're taking this vaccine, they tell you have to take a booster. No other vaccine in the history of the world has have any, I would say, chaos like this vaccine.
Part of the injunction relies heavily on the infringement of the rights of Grenadians.
It's a factor that you have a right to make a decision, and most of them in the job because you're influenced by people in the government, what to do, that's the employers, and these employers enforce that upon the workers. Many of the workers live, and some of them who took it got sick, and some of them die. And this is my thing that we need to be explained to us by our government. How many people take it and die, how many people got, affected, and this is a fact that should be explained to the people.
The Renaissance Party leader reiterates that the injunction calls for a stop to the administration of COVID-19 vaccines, as well as providing relief to those affected.
Season of the vaccine, and also that people who got who've been affected by the vaccine should be, compensated. both by the government as well as the, like SGSU. SGSU is not a government. They create appetite in there, and also hotel industry. They should be also punished and make them, I would say, compensate all these people who got affected.
GBM reached out to Attorney General Dia Forrester for a comment and was told by the secretary a return call from the AG's office would be forthcoming. However, despite continued efforts up to news time, a response proved futile. Government, meanwhile, continues to encourage the Grenadian people to take the COVID-19 vaccine as the best choice towards saving lives and livelihoods. To date, there are three vaccine options available: AstraZeneca, Pfizer, and most recently Johnson & Johnson. I am Gerard Joseph for GBN News.
In Jamaica, there has been reaction to the imposing of states of emergency in 7 of the 19 police divisions across the island. The measures took effect on Sunday. Two security experts have been expressing opposing views on the effectiveness of the measures. This report by TVJ News.
On Sunday, Prime Minister Andrew Holness announced the imposition of the measure across 7 police divisions in a bid to cauterize the island's high crime rate. Security expert Robert Finzi-Smith believes that the current measure will not have the desired effect, as before the Prime Minister made the announcement, persons on social media were already speaking about the imposition of the security measure. He says there's no doubt that criminal elements heard about the SOEs before they were declared. Another concern was the decision intelligence-based.
Who are we targeting? How many people have we fully identified as producers of violence that we can put a name and an antecedent to? Because if we know definitively who we are looking for, then their departure from the areas targeted could work to our advantage.
For another security expert, Jason Mackay, he believes the detention mechanism under the SOE will be instrumental in holding onto criminal elements.
Well, that's a significantly effective mechanism. If you look on Jamaica's crime history, they had a suppression, the Suppression of Crime Act that it is commonly known, that was removed in 1994. It was after that that crime statistics and crime control in general started to plot deteriorate. Because a detention act where you can just arrest without having to face the court within 48 hours is a significantly powerful tool. So I guarantee you that type of power is very effective.
But Mr. Smith does not agree. He says there are too many things wrong in how the government is approaching crime and violence, such as crime targeting, which he says is wrong, flawed, and a scandalous use of scant resources. In the meantime, he says the use of a commission to look at and implement suggestions to deal with crime would ultimately be a waste of time.
Go and find out how many commissions we have had over the past 2 decades on anything. Go and tell me how many of them have completed their tasking. And of those that have completed their tasking, how many of their recommendations have actively been implemented?
In St. Lucia, thieves made off with a truckload of stolen goods from Massey Mega, with police investigating the matter. Here's MBC Prime News.
Before dawn on the morning of November 15th, an otherwise quiet side road near the Bocas Secondary School was apparently teeming with activity. Hidden away from the main road, several motor vehicles reportedly made several trips to and from the Bocas Court area. The commotion attracted suspicion and prompted a cautious investigation by nearby residents. An abandoned truck missing its license plates was discovered tucked away under some bushes. That same morning, police officers attached to the Criminal Investigations Department were summoned to Massey Mega, 3.5 miles away at Chalk Estate Castries. Massey Mega employees reported a burglary had just occurred. In a statement, Massey Stores confirmed the break-in, which the company says occurred during the wee hours of Monday, November 15th. NBC Prime cameras arrived at the cordoned-off premises as CID officers probed the crime scene. Employees were kept out of the building. The state-of-the-art surveillance and security systems installed at Massey Mega
was somehow bypassed by the burglary suspects in what appears to be a coordinated heist. After infiltrating the Massey Mega building, the thieves gained access to hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of wholesale goods, including frozen meats, liquor, and snacks. Home electronics, appliances, and furniture is also stored at Massey Mega. Bank of St. Lucia also has a branch in the Massey Mega building. For a yet-to-be-determined period, the burglary suspects freely pilfered and plundered. The looting was over before the earliest employees arrived at work. Massey Stores has not disclosed the value of the missing goods. Operations were suspended for the day. Security footage, NBC Prime understands, captured the getaway. Police investigators are chasing down leads to determine if the abandoned truck at Bocage is linked to the Massey heist at Shock. Rihanna Isidore, NBC Prime.
The Jamaican Urban Transit Company, JUTC, has reported that stone-throwing incidents have left 5 buses damaged and 2 persons injured in 3 Miles, St. Andrew, recently. The company notes that a driver and a female passenger were wounded from windshield fragments to their eyes. Their condition is not considered life-threatening. More on this from CVM News.
In recent weeks, several buses from the Jamaica Urban Transit Company's fleet have come under increased attacks by vandals. A driver and a female passenger were wounded from windshield fragments to their eyes after a stone-throwing incident on Tuesday. Their condition is not considered life-threatening. The company, in a statement on Wednesday, says in 3 Miles of St. Andrew alone, the JUTC has recorded 29 incidents. Of that number, 19 occurred last month. Since the start of the year, 69 stone-throwing incidents have been reported. In 2020, the company recorded 63 stone-throwing incidents for the entire year. The company listed hotspot areas for stone-throwing incidents to include sections of 3 Miles, Bull Bay, Marcus Garvey Drive, Wynwood Road, and Spanish Town Road. Robeanne Williams for CVM Live.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Wednesday, November 17. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio.